Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
We are here today with Susanna Hallinan, happyologist, author of Screw Finding Your Passion and her latest book, Happiness Is Here, A 30-Day Guide to Joy and Fulfillment. Hi, Susanna.
Hi.
And we're also here with Susanna's dog. What's the dog called?
Apache.
So if you hear like a thumping in the background or panting or deep breathing, it is the dog and none of us.
The dog is happiness personified.
Oh, honestly, it's such a sunshine dog. So today's podcast is obviously all about happiness. But what would be great is for you to start with your story a little bit and how you went from, as you say in your words, a pessimist to being an optimist and someone who, I don't know, enjoys being happy part of the time.
Yeah.
talk to us a bit about that and your journey and how it all began.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, it kind of all started early on when I kind of finished university and went into the corporate world, kind of just followed the traditional path. I thought that was kind of the thing I was meant to do, just do it. And with my Nordic background, you know, coming from a country that's a little bit dark and cold, I think maybe that influenced me into being a little bit of, you know, a natural pessimist, realist, kind of focused always on things that I could change and improve and stuff like that. So a little bit critical in a way. Mm. And when I went into the corporate world, initially into marketing, I thought, right, well, that's what I'll do. That's what I, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. Just go and explore the career ladder. But I quickly realized it wasn't quite right for me. And I started to feel like this emptiness and this lack and this kind of hole inside of me. And I was trying to understand what it was and what it actually meant and what was I supposed to do with it. So as I was trying to figure out whether this was actually the career path for me or not, and why I was feeling so unfulfilled and unhappy and whether these were all connected, I came across, by accident, this book called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Aker, and that's the book that introduced me to positive psychology, which is the science of happiness and human performance. And when I read that book, I was totally mesmerized. I just fell so in love with it right away, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I need to go deeper. I need to explore this. So I started to do exactly that. Whilst I was still in my corporate job, I started to read more books on it, did more, followed all the blogs on it, started to connect with people who were in that field. And step by step, I felt more and more sure that this was the path that I was meant to take. And luckily, around that time, I also got careers coaching because I was trying to figure out, right, do I stay? Do I go? What do I do? And it was actually my coach who led me to believe in myself and realize that, oh, well, if positive psychology is something that excites you and inspires you, then you can do that. You know, it's not the traditional career path, but you can do whatever you basically want to do. So he almost gave me the permission I needed in order to kind of dive deeper into it. So fast forward, basically 18 months, I think, forward from that coaching session, I left my corporate job. I'd done a coaching accreditation on the side of my corporate job, and I went in to do a Master's of Science in Applied Positive Psychology because I really wanted to specialize in it. And I also started a blog called The Happyologist, which then, after doing my master's, I turned into a business. So it definitely took a couple of years, and it took a lot of tiny little steps to give me more confidence and courage. But the best part was because when I was learning about positive psychology, all the tips, all the practices, all the things that I was going to help other people do, I obviously practiced them myself. Mm. And that's how I started to transform and realize, wow, okay, I can change. You know, I can do this transformation myself and I can feel more fulfilled. And that's how I went from being a natural pessimist into a trained optimist. And now I can actually see the positive side of the things and just, yeah, enjoy life more.
I love that being a trained optimist. Yeah, it just shows how much it's something that you can learn, which is actually exactly what we talk about when we talk about love, that love is a practice.
Yeah.
it's not, you know, it's not like, I know you say about happiness, it's not a destination.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's something that you do, not something that you're given or that you arrive at.
Absolutely.
And so with, and that, just that way of looking at both happiness and love is so empowering, because then you suddenly realise, oh, so if anyone can do it, that would therefore include me.
Yeah.
And it becomes far more of a practical and then also a scientific thing that you're doing. Do you look at a lot of the kind of science of it?
Yeah, so all my work is based on research. So it's all predominantly from the positive psychology field. But I don't shy away from things like intuition and feeling as well, because I do believe in a holistic practice for yourself. And obviously science has a big role to play in terms of, okay, right, what are the tips or the practices or the things that you can do that have proven to be effective? But at the same time, we are all unique, dynamic human beings, and we also need to kind of get in touch with our intuition as well and trust that as well. So I think it's a balance of both.
What are one of the tools that you use or practices that you find make the biggest difference to you on a day-to-day?
I mean, the one that I love the most has a lot of research behind it, and it's the one that I started as number one when I basically started to make this transformation is gratitude. And it's like the simplest thing, but it's so, so powerful. And I started by practicing the gratitude journal. And that's basically you just finish every day by writing down three specific things you are grateful for in your day. And, you know, you have to make them really specific. So it's not just, I don't know, I'm grateful for living in London, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my work. No, it's something specific in your day. You know, I'm grateful that I got to explore this new cafe that just popped up around the corner. I'm grateful for my family, and I'm grateful for the Skype session I had with my mom today because, you know, she's one of my best friends and stuff like that, making them really specific to that day. Because then that's when you start to really acknowledge all the things that you have and can appreciate. And the idea is to do that for at least 21 days and if not longer, because then when you start to notice yourself looking for things to be grateful for and you literally start to kind of rewire your mindset and how your brain works, because then you get up, you get out in your day, you start doing stuff and you're like, ooh, that could go in my gratitude journal. Ooh, that could. So you actually kind of are reframing everything in a more positive light. And that's the practice that I started with. That's the practice I always go back to if I'm feeling stressed or anxious and things like that. And I also like to adapt it. So if I'm having a moment that I'm not feeling enough self-love or something like that, then I change it and I say, right, what are three things that I did well today? Or what are three things I appreciate about myself today? So really, you can fine-tune it in any way you want. And for example, if it could be work that you're stressing out about, you could say, right, what are three things I appreciated about my work today? So you can bring your own nuances to it. But in the end, it's just about having an attitude of gratitude, basically.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that about having to be specific.
Well, I have a gratitude practice that I do in the mornings about the day before, or about how I'm feeling in that moment. But I do a mixture, actually, not just specific things, actually more general things as well. Mm. What are the benefits of doing, of looking at specific things?
I think it's a bit of, it's good to do a bit of both, like you say. The thing with when you make them really specific, that means that you're not writing the same thing down every day. Mm. And I think that's the idea. If you started and want to kind of turn it into a bit of a habit and do it for like 3 or 4 weeks, then you're not writing every day, you're not writing down, I'm grateful for my family, I'm grateful for my work, because then it becomes kind of mundane and you don't feel it in the same way.
It becomes a bit automatic,
exactly,
rather than having to actually really
look,
get into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can feel that difference, actually.
Yeah.
It feels like if I'm a bit more specific, like, I don't know why I'm thinking this, I'm grateful for my new nails.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah,
but actually, that's just like,
to be grateful.
But it's like, absolutely, but like, it's something that's new and fresh, and it's now and it's present, rather than I'm grateful for my health, which I can often like pop down as, I'm happy for my health, and I'm happy for my relationship, and I'm, you know, these are grateful.
Yeah.
And then actually, if I take time to get more specific, it kind of goes deeper.
Absolutely. Then that's when you start to really connect your life in a more meaningful way. And you also then, if you want to look back on all the things you've written down, and by the way, I always recommend using pen and paper, because whenever you write things down, you're more kind of committed to them, you feel them more, and then it's also nice to kind of browse back through everything that you've written, and you can then start to see themes. And you can start to spot out and be like, okay, well, what are the things that I tend to be most grateful for? And you're like, oh, okay, so those are the things that I'm really connecting with. And it can kind of give you a little bit of ideas, think, you know, something like, oh, okay, so I'm enjoying this part of my life right now. Oh, maybe I need to make sure I'm doing enough of it or focusing enough on it as well. So it's a little bit of a compass in a way as well, kind of shining light on what is it that's making you feel more fulfilled.
Do you find that there's a big link with happiness and having meaning in your life, things feeling meaningful?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the misconceptions around happiness, is that thinking that, oh, happiness is just joy, pleasure, savoring stuff, short-term momentary burst of positive emotions. But actually that's only half of happiness. The other half of happiness is exactly that. It's sense of meaning, sense of purpose, understanding why you do what you do, connecting to actually almost every action in your day. Because when you understand why you do what you do, you get so much more empowered and inspired, and you approach everything from a different angle. And then you can also go bigger when you look at sense of meaning and thinking about, right, well, what is my sense of meaning in my life? What's my purpose here? You know, how is it that I want to contribute to the world or create some kind of positive impact? So with meaning, it's about connecting to your day to day, as well as looking at the bigger picture and what you think your kind of meaning of life is, in a way.
Which is also why it's so important, if people are going to be happy, particularly people that work in big corporates, they have to feel a sense of meaning within the work that they do.
And
feel connected to the whole organization as a whole, and not just, this is just a job that I go in and I do work.
Exactly. And and that's one of the reasons I kind of shied away from the corporate world, or at least where I was in, I didn't feel that sense of meaning. There was a mismatch with my values. I didn't really understand what was kind of why the company was there and what its mission was. That's how I started to create that distance with it and started to feel that hole and that lack of meaning in my life. I mean, it's also important to note that obviously, you know, some of us, maybe we don't have the luxury or the flexibility of finding a new job or whatever, but you can still find connections of meaning as well. If you think about, right, well, I'm just doing this job to pay for the bills so that I can support my family. Just acknowledging that already creates a sense of meaning, because then your sense of meaning is to provide for your family. And okay, it might not be the best job, it might not be where you want to be right then and there, but you are doing it for a reason. And I think just understanding what that reason is helps you to kind of make peace with it, so that you can have a more positive relationship with it.
I remember doing that actually years and years ago, when I was having to, for about a year, work in recruitment. And I remember I was like walking up the station steps towards the office, and I was like, oh my God, I just can't bear another day of this. And I said to myself exactly that. I was just like, just have a think about the fact that this is bringing in money that allows you to eat, to pay your bills, to pay for rent, which otherwise you'd be back to not knowing if you'd be able to, you know, pay rent or, you know, things like that. And that gratitude gave me the kind of a little bit of reinforcement of going, okay, I can do this for a little bit longer. Just remember the gratitude of that. I mean, it wasn't sustainable. I couldn't have every day told myself that. But for a short period of time where I had to, because in order to make money, then it kind of helped me through that, of kind of finding it a little bit more bearable to be a recruitment consultant.
And then you start to reframe it and see it as an enabler to get you to somewhere else, even though you don't want to be there in that moment. It's like this honouring the kind of period of life that you're in that time, that phase of life. And so knowing that you want to get somewhere else, but actually in that moment it's enabling you to explore your passions or you know, explore other careers that you could be doing. In your book you mentioned that many people think of happiness as being positive all the time. And you know that, and I think it's a little bit like self-love as well, that if you love yourself, that you're always positive and grateful all the time. And so can you speak to that?
I think that is actually one of the myths that holds our happiness back, because happiness is not the absence of negative emotions. It's not the absence of problems, you know, because as humans, we are dynamic beings and we are meant to experience the full range of human emotions, both the good and the bad. And being happy just means that when you experience those negative emotions and, you know, feel a bit stressed or anxiety or sad or disappointed, whatever it is, you're just quicker to bounce back from it. And that doesn't mean that you deny that negative emotions or suppress it or try and ignore it, because that just gives it more power and that just makes it more toxic within you. So you have to learn to see your negative emotions a little bit like your friends as well, and just be like, right, okay, you're here, I hear you, I feel you, right, okay, so what can we do to kind of get out of this or bounce back from it? And sometimes, actually, you might just want to sit with it for a bit and just explore it. Right, well, why am I feeling this? What is it that's causing this? Because in a way, negative emotions also tell us, you know, maybe when we are feeling a bit exhausted or burnt out, and maybe it's a reminder that we need to invest in more self-care or more sleep, or I don't know, eat more nutritiously. They could also be saying, well, I'm feeling stressed or anxious about this project or this part of my job, and maybe it's saying, right, okay, maybe this isn't quite aligned with who I am or why I want to be. So without those negative emotions, we won't get kind of that sense of direction when something is not right. So they have a massively important role to play when it comes to us living happy lives.
It sounds a bit like happiness is similar to contentment. Is there a big difference between the two?
Yeah, well, contentment is, I mean, in positive psychology term, contentment is like one sort of positive emotions, because that means you're at peace and you're kind of not fighting anything, and contentment is very tied to gratitude and sense of fulfillment as well. So they all kind of go hand in hand and they're all very interconnected. But I think having the ability to kind of find contentment in any moment, or at least, you know, a couple of times every day is what helps you to feel more grounded and connect again to your life in a more meaningful way.
Is happiness then a stronger emotion than contentment?
Happiness kind of like, it's like the it's like everything else forms happiness. So contentment is only one type of happiness. So happiness is almost like the overarching thing, and then everything else, like joy, laughter, contentment, delight, surprise, savoring, all those positive emotions kind of come under happiness. And same thing with sense of meaning, purpose, fulfillment, and all of those things together kind of give you this, right, okay, I am feeling happy and fulfilled, basically.
Another of the myths that I know you talk about is this idea that success leads to happiness. And I know you say, well, actually, we've got that the wrong way around.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes from this idea that we're always saying to ourselves, well, I'll be happy when I get this or when I do that. You know, I'll be happy when I get that promotion or when I get that new job or when I get married or when I buy a new house, blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, that blank, I'll be happy when X. And in reality, that isn't really a sustainable source of happiness. I mean, of course, you will feel a sense of achievement, you'll feel proud, you know, you will be full of love on your wedding day, all those things. But you will only have like a momentary burst of happiness, and then you go back to where you were before because you adapt to the situation. And that's why it's really important for us to learn to enjoy that journey and every step of it, rather than just think, well, I'll just be happy when I get to this. Going back to what we said about happiness not being a destination, it's kind of a daily choice. And the same thing what you said about happiness fueling success. Well, there is so much research now that shows when we are happy, we actually are more likely to engage in health-promoting behaviors. We have a stronger immune system. We have lower blood pressure. We're more productive, more creative. We build stronger relationships, and kind of the list goes on. So actually, if we're learning to embed happiness-boosting practices into our lives, and we're learning to practice this attitude of gratitude, then we're actually much more likely to be successful in every area of our lives. And I think we need to kind of reframe that, because like you say, a lot of our decisions and things, especially in modern society and maybe the way media communicates, is it's all about success, go for the success, strive for this, strive for that. But then we're kind of forgetting that, okay, well, what is it that's actually going to help me lead there? And it's actually happiness, ironically.
Yeah.
So it's really important to kind of try and reframe that and then make sure that you are making time for those happiness-inducing practices.
I think as well, that pursuit of happiness, I think that's often what becomes addictive.
Exactly.
They talk about when shopaholics, when they're like, they see the thing and they want the thing and they desire the thing and then finally they decide they're going to buy whatever it is, the top, the, you know, the handbag or whatever it is people are buying. And they buy it and they have, for a fleeting moment, there is like a surge of chemicals that's just like, and literally moments later, that feeling is gone. And it's just, and so that they need more and more and more. And I think, I actually find it interesting, and I remember this back from university when we were like getting our degrees, a lot of people experienced, they expected there to be this incredible sense of achievement when they got their degree through. And loads of people were like,
oh yeah,
I felt totally empty.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah.
That wasn't, I was just like, and so now I've almost got this thing that actually those achievements, that when you arrive at those moments, I never expect to feel anything other than like, oh, well,
it's done now.
On with the next journey. Because for me, the excitement and fulfillment is knowing that I'm doing things that I enjoy, that I find fulfilling, that are meaningful, that are aligned with my, you know, with my values, that feel right for me. So that's, I now know that that's, the journey is far more fulfilling. Way more so than it turns out the destination for me in particular, because I get there, I'm like, what's next? I was like, can we pause a moment? If anything, I need to sometimes pause and go, can we just take a moment to acknowledge what we're, because it's just like, that happens all. Like, let's just acknowledge what we've done here, take a bit of a breather, congratulate ourselves, and then go on to the next thing.
Absolutely, because I mean, but that's also so natural in our human nature. Just keep chasing and running, and okay, right, let's work towards this goal. Okay, great, done. Right, what's the next one? How do we go even bigger, even further? How do we grow even more? And it never ends. Now, obviously, it's good to have goals because that's what gives us a bit of sense of purpose and meaning as well. But like you say, you have to enjoy the journey towards them, because otherwise, you're missing out on life. You're going to miss out on the whole thing. Because if you're just focused on that destination and obsessively getting there as fast as you can in any way possible, you're not living life. You're not taking the moments to reflect, to pause, to enjoy, to celebrate, all those things.
Because essentially you're saying, I'm not there, I'm not there, I'm not there, I'm not there. And that's going to feel rubbish.
Yeah.
And they do say, don't they, that actually there's a certain price point on income after which people are absolutely no happier at all.
Exactly.
And also, and particularly there's research, and you've probably looked into this, on lottery winners.
Yeah.
And everyone thinks, if I won the lottery.
Yeah.
And then you actually speak to lottery winners, and a year later, they're often less happy than before, and they thought, because also once you win the lottery, now you've got everything you thought make you happy. Now you haven't got anything to strive for. Now you're like, this was supposed to be the answer, and it wasn't the answer. And I think I find people who go after the kind of typical things in our society we're told will make us happy, reaching that point in our career, having the house, being married, having the kids, and then you get these people who've got all these things and are like, I'm not happy at all. But all these things were supposed to make me happy.
Yeah.
For me, I think always that's a good point, because then it's like, great, so now you're ready to listen and do some work.
Yeah.
An alternative way. It's based on having all these things you thought were going to make you happy.
Yeah.
Is that when do people, because you work one-on-one, don't you, people?
Yeah.
So what do you find people come to you with? Where have they got to when they go, I need a happyologist?
Yeah.
Not usually the first thing that pops into people's head and they're lying at night feeling miserable. I know what I need. Where's that happyologist number?
I think there's definitely a few common themes. One is always around self-love, because people just, they feel like, oh, I can't take the next step, or I'm not sure where to go, and oh, I'm not good enough, and I'm not brave enough. And so it's like, actually, they need to be reminded of that they are capable of anything, and that they have any resources within themselves to do anything that they set their mind to do. So with them, a lot of the work is around the self-belief, around changing the mindset, bringing in the gratitude first in a bigger scale, and then nailing it in on the gratitude for towards themselves. And then the other side is always work related. You know, people are like, right, I'm really stuck. I've been in this rut for a couple of years now, if not longer. I'm not feeling fulfilled. I don't know what to do. I feel disconnected. I feel like I'm living a lie. And then that's when they come and they're like, right, okay, where do I start? What do I do? And then we again go back like to looking at their values, their strengths. What is it that they find meaningful? What kind of contribution do they want to make? We've just been taught that happiness comes from all these external things. When according to research, only 10% of our happiness is influenced by external things. 90% is up to us.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a great stat.
Yeah.
So, wow. Forget these sparkly nails. That's my 10%. That's definitely my 10%. Well, it's that whole thing of have, do, be, be, do, have, rather than have, do, be. And yeah. It's always like, if I have this,
yeah.
Then, you know, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
And it's just like the other way around.
Yeah.
Be like you, and, but I think people don't realize that you can actually be the emotion, the feeling that you want to experience through choice.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Actually just finding it within you.
Mm.
It's just like, no, I have to have this before I can be happy, before I can be joyful, before I can be peaceful or calm or whatever it is. And it's like, no, it's actually showing people, giving people the tools that, which is what's so exciting about positive psychology and, you know, self-help in general, psychotherapy, is that this is all so recent that we've even had these tools to be able to train ourselves to be happy and reprogram ourselves and recognise we have the power to feel how we want to feel. It doesn't have to be about circumstance at all.
No, absolutely not. And the reality is, if you don't learn to be happy now, you're not going to be happy in the future with whatever you have.
Absolutely.
And that's why, like you say, it's all about learning to choose that right mindset, getting the practices in your place that then help you to feel that sense of peace, contentment, and fulfillment, regardless of what's going on in your life.
Yeah. The good thing is to look at how many miserable millionaires there are.
Yeah.
to remind me that apparently the money doesn't make it all fine.
No, exactly.
And bring all that you wanted. Ah, amazing.
So what's next for this kind of work? Do you have any projects coming up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just obviously released my second book. I've already started working on my next one.
amazing.
But I do love to write. It's one of the things that comes easiest to me. Mm. So, yeah, I'm always writing. If I'm not working on my book, I'm writing a blog. I'm also working on a new online course. And, yeah, other than that, just continuing to do my usual one-on-one coaching and talks and things like that.
Amazing. So if people want to get in touch with you and find out more, buy your book, find out about one-to-one coaching, where's the best place to go?
The best place is to go to my website, so happyologist.co.uk. I'm also the Happyologist on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And my book, Happiness Is Here, is on Amazon. So yeah, have a look and see what you think.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so
That's
much.
Made me feel all happy.
it's infectious. I don't know if research has been done on this, just talking about happiness.
It is infectious.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah. Moods are very contagious. Yeah.
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 Oh, well, thank you, Susanna, for bringing happiness into our day.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.